rules of Jeff Fisher says he has to finish 8-8, and Renaud Rooms are 7-8, so I think they get the win. That's science, by the way.
I think it's math, but that's okay. This is not grammar school.
Listen. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
It's week 17, and most of you have no care in the world about what happens this week. However, we're giving you another show, and it's a good show, too. I am Pod Vader. I'm joined by two super fans here. I've got our Patriot super fan, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Pod.
It's kind of a come down last week against the Jets, but, you know.
Wow, you're opening the show with that?
I'm just saying, ultimately, it was like, no, it's like, you know, whatever. We lost. Whoopee.
Dude, get through the introductions first before you bring me
We're
down.
Still in first. And we have our Giants super fan, Sam. Hi, Sam.
Good news for you guys is the Giants aren't going to be in the playoffs this year.
No. And last week, I don't know if you downloaded and listened to your own podcast, but I did ask for the Giants to lose, and then I asked for Tom Coughlin's head on a platter, and I got at least half of it, and I think the other half might still be coming.
Is that platter going to be sent straight to the Hall of Fame, where it belongs?
How about that one, Patrick? You ready to get into that conversation, too?
I mean, In the actual NFL, they wait 5 years before having conversations like this to keep conversations like this from happening. Like Tom Coughlin is a very good coach. He's had a very nice career that is commensurate with dozens of other coaches that have had very similar careers that are not in the Hall of Fame. And I'll just leave it at that for now, because I imagine we'll come right back on this one.
We'll definitely be coming back to that. If you want to send us an email and talk about Hall of Fame coaches, or perhaps talking about me not sweating a Jets loss, or anything else that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on, we're going to have both of our Eagles super fans, that being Sitko, who hosts the recap show, and Ramona Rice, the sports gal pal, on. You're going to hear them go at it very passionately about the Chip Kelly firing this week in Philadelphia. That's a great listen. And then we have a one-sided superfan battle for you this week, and it is the last game that we will highlight this week, because it is the last game on the schedule for week 17, and that is the Vikings at the Packers. If you'd like to email us, do so, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can check out all of our written previews on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/nextfanup. And of course, if you're on Facebook right now, there's a little search bar up on the top. Type in Next Fan Up. We will pop right up into your search bar. As I've been doing all season, I'm going to do it backwards today, because if the Titans lose this week, they guarantee themselves this.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
But that's only if they lose. So when we get to that game, we will talk about their chances of losing and whether or not they just want to tank it immediately. Could Chip Kelly end up going to the Titans so he has his quarterback in Marcus Mariota and the first pick in the draft? That would be one might from the Philadelphia Eagles situation. The Browns, by the way, are tied with the Titans in record, so the Browns would be in contention for that number one pick. And then we have the Cowboys, 49ers, Chargers, Ravens, Dolphins, Jaguars. And then however the NFC least works its way out, either the Giants or the Eagles would be up next. So that is your draft order. Let's talk playoff scenarios, gentlemen. And let's start in the NFC, because it's easier, because everyone has clinched an NFC spot. They're just playing for seeding now. We have Carolina, Arizona, Washington, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Seattle. The Green Bay Minnesota game is for the NFC North spot, and that spot will be the third spot. They will have the third seed, and the other team will be the wild card representative. Carolina has still needs to clinch home field advantage. I thought they had, but they will only clinch it with a win or an Arizona loss. But Arizona can clinch home field advantage throughout with a win and a Carolina loss. The I mentioned the NFC North seeding, and that's pretty much it for the NFC. Moving now quickly to the AFC, the Patriots are still the number one seed. They do have a first round bye, but they do not have home field advantage throughout. I thought they did if the Broncos had won, but apparently that's not the case. They need a win or they need Denver to lose again. So that will get the road to San Francisco to come through Foxborough. The Broncos currently have the second seed. They will clinch the AFC West title with a win or a Kansas City loss. Kansas City could still end up being the AFC West champion, which is crazy to think about. They will clinch a first round bye with a win or a tie and a Cincinnati loss, or a Kansas City loss or tie and a Cincinnati loss. And they will claim a home field advantage throughout if they win and New England loses. The Bengals clinch a first round bye only if they win and Denver loses, or a couple of other different scenarios, which we won't get into. The Chiefs will be the AFC West division title holder if they win and the Broncos lose. And then we have our wild cards. Let's first talk about the AFC South, because it's between the Texans and the Colts. This is where things will get tricky. Houston can clinch the AFC South title easily with a win or a tie. Or if Indianapolis loses or ties, or they will clinch strength of victory tiebreaker over Indy, or clinch strength of schedule tiebreaker over Indy. Who cares? Ultimately, Houston, you just got to beat Jacksonville, and that shouldn't be that difficult. Unless some idiot decides to put his lock curse on you, then it gets a lot more interesting. We'll get to that. Our wild card teams.
I'm trying to update my video. Yeah. You're going way too fast.
Our wild card teams. We have the Jets, the Steelers, and of course we have the Chiefs, who are also playing for the AFC West division title. Basically, the Jets need to win, and they will clinch that second wild card. The Steelers need to win and the Jets to lose to get into the playoffs after they laid the egg to the Baltimore Ravens, thanks to some idiot's lock of the week curse. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you made it through that. I probably will cut all of that out. So, Patrick, what are you most looking forward to in week 17?
Seeing Jimmy Garoppolo play.
That's a good thing to look forward to, especially if you're a Patriots fan.
It's sort of a meaningless football game. I know we can secure home field advantage throughout the playoffs by winning, but I mean, alternatively, we can get the same thing if Denver loses either this game or a playoff game. So I'm not really sweating beating the Dolphins. And I mean, they're just a garbage football team. So who knows? Maybe they can beat our second string. Maybe they can't. Maybe they don't even care. And I say roll out the kids and let them see if they can play some ball.
Sam, what are you most looking forward to in week 17?
I think the Chiefs win their game and then the Broncos lose to Phillip Rivers. And then we get to hear a week of Peyton Manning should be starting over Brock Osweiler, which I think will be fun for everybody involved. Although I don't think he should. But that Chiefs team is my pick to come out of the AFC right now. I'm really impressed by them. Interesting to see what they do this week against Oakland.
Well, if they're like everybody else, they're going to be playing their second stringer. So I don't know how interesting it'll get. Well, this is the week for all. Well, they probably won't. They probably won't, even though they should.
And I don't think also Carolina, Arizona. A lot of people are thinking that maybe Arizona sits at starters, but I don't know. I don't think a lot of these teams want to go into the playoffs with their guys having have not played a meaningful game in about a month. It's I don't know. It's always interesting to hear the rust versus rest argument.
Well, Arians already said he wasn't resting his starters. He said that pretty much right after the games on Sunday. So we don't have to worry about the Cardinals resting. But again, they probably should. We'll get to all of that as we start breaking down these games. And let's start with the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. Lots of rumblings about the Saints just, you know, blowing it all up and starting all over. Could this be the last time we see Sean Payton as the head coach? Could this be the last time we see Drew Brees as the quarterback of the Saints? I think all of that is crazy talk, but I also think that there is no team, and I've said it all season, I don't think there's any team that is more connected to their community than the New Orleans Saints after Hurricane Katrina. And to me, it'd just be a shame to see the Saints blow up that way. Patrick?
I mean, it's a shame to see a good team get blown up. Yeah, it just happens, you know, circle of life. You know, there'll be a Simba out there somewhere to go down to New Orleans and hopefully do a decent job. And somebody else will be able to reap the benefits when that coaching staff gets dismantled. But it's sort of bound to happen. So whether or not Peyton stays or goes, Drew Brees is on his way out. Dude's getting old, arms falling apart. Right? So that you're not going to be able to keep that band together for very much longer, regardless.
Sam, what do you think about New Orleans and what's going on down there?
I know a lot of the listeners are probably screaming right now that Green Bay is probably more connected to their city, but I kind of agree with you with New Orleans. It seems like that team is, the way it's happening is more devastating than I think to any team we've seen. Because they really have no blue chip players or even red chip players. Brandon Cooks is like the only player on that team. So it's a total rebuild. They're not going to be good for a while. And I just need to see how those fans react to that.
Drew Brees is listed as questionable. He's got that torn plantar fascia on his foot. I mean, he's obviously a trooper. He went out there and played last week with it. My guess is he's going to want to play again this week. But, I mean, is there really a point other than pride to play? I would say no. And for that reason, I'm going to take my former boyfriends, the Atlanta Falcons, at home, only because I do think there's a lot of pride left to be played for in Atlanta. The way they started the season, the way they've ended the season, and the way that they want to really end the season, I think going out on a win is what they really want. I don't think going out on a win is necessarily what New Orleans wants. And for those reasons, I'm taking Atlanta. Those are great reasons, don't you think, Patrick?
I mean, sure. I mean, as good a reason as any.
Who you got?
I'll take Atlanta, like, but without any real personal attachment or cares about the game.
Sam?
I think Atlanta is the winner. I think the loser is anybody who watches this game.
Wow, harsh.
By the way,
get some pressure.
In the Pigskin Pick'em, Steelers Greg overtook Sitko for the number one spot. He had a big week last week with 11 right. Sitko only 9. So there's a two-game difference between the two of them. Going into week 17. And as I've said before, week 17 is for all you degenerate gamblers out there. You have no business betting on any of these games because no one knows who the heck is playing or who the heck really wants to play. Half these teams and half these players already got one foot out into the sand traps, you know, to go golfing for the off season. And the other half are too stubborn to know that the season's really already over. But Number Fire loves Atlanta -4, 53.3%. That always makes me feel uneasy, but I'm taking Atlanta. Here's a game I think you have a little bit more investment in, Patrick, and that is the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. The Jets, we know, are playing for a playoff spot, really. They need to win to stay in. The Bills are, of course, led by Rex Ryan, the former coach of the New York Jets. And I'm sure there's nothing more he'd love than to ruin more Sunday afternoons for Jet fans.
Maybe he can get a backup outside linebacker to come down during the pregame handshake and just punch Fitzpatrick in the face, like, for completely no reason, and then get Geno Smith into the game. You think that could happen?
That would be great.
It would definitely be a Buddy Ryan thing to do.
Who do you like in this one?
Well, I mean, Jets. I mean, you have a borderline playoff team going up against a team that people are questioning whether or not they're going to fire their coach after a year, which, by the way, would, like, trump Chip Kelly for like, ridiculous overreaction on a guy new in his contract. But nevertheless, like, you have one team that's playing above their expectations against another team that's playing below them. I'll take the team playing above.
Sam, who do you like?
I want to say the Bills. I just think the Jets are going to Jets. Even though they're the better team and they should win, I just think somehow they lose and Rex Ryan has an MVP-worthy press conference afterwards.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's I've spent too much time with Andrew this season on these preview shows, but I think the Jets are a much different team. Number Fire loves Buffalo plus three at 58.8%, and that just totally solidified it for me. I'm going with the Jets here all the way. I just don't see it out of Buffalo. And talking about Ryan's seat being hot, they did release a statement today saying that both the GM and Rex Ryan are whichever Ryan it is. It's late. I don't record these at night. I'm used to doing this in the morning, looking out my window at the beautiful front lawn. And it's dark.
Oh, hubby, Rex Ryan's the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and Buddy Ryan washes his car for $20 a week.
Oh, Patrick.
Oh, sorry, that's Rob here. Ryan. Buddy Ryan's dead. Now I feel bad.
Oh, my goodness. The show's off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. We're all taking the Jets. No, we're not all taking the Jets, but I'm taking the Jets. Lions are at the Bears, and this is a game where I think, Sam, what you said earlier about the Saints-Falcons, who really cares besides the Lions fans and the Bears fans? I'm going to take the Lions here. I've taken the Lions on the road, but Vegas has the Bears as the favorites. Give me a pick, guys.
The Bears.
I'll go Lions.
Does that seem dispassionate enough? Should I tone it down?
By the way, Number Fire says this is a pick'em game with Detroit slightly favored 50.9%. Interesting.
That's good enough for me. I'll take them.
All right. It's the Ravens at the Bengals. The Bengals are favored by 7.5, and I think that's what makes this game interesting, is which Ravens team shows up, or will the Bengals roll over like the Steelers did? Because the Bengals really only need to win for a chance at a first-round bye. I don't know if they need to run the score up, though, on the Ravens to make that happen. I'm going to take the Ravens because the Bengals won't cover, but the Bengals will win this game. Sam,
who do we have playing quarterback for the Bengals right now?
It's AJ McCarron, is it not?
No, he has a wrist issue. It might be somebody with the name like Greg Wenning or something, or sixth round pick.
Oh, well, that changes things now, doesn't it?
Well, not really. Ryan Mallett's playing on the other team, so.
All right, then, Patrick, I'm taking it you're taking the Bengals no matter what.
Yeah,
Sam?
Sorry, that could be like a motif for the show.
Yeah, I guess the Bengals. I mean, I don't know. The Ravens, Mallett looked decent last week for some reason. Doesn't make sense.
I am right now looking. McCarron was limited at practice.
McCarron is limited when he plays.
Yeah. No, great. That's a limited niche, right? Like, he'll play.
It's a joke fest. I believe McCarron's going to play, so we don't have to worry about who his backup's going to be. All right, we have the Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers are favored by 9.5. Considering the egg that they laid against the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know how they can be favored by 9.5 other than saying maybe they come out with the fire and the intensity that they were supposed to. Weren't they supposed to unleash hell in December at one point? Haven't seen it yet. I don't see them covering, but I do see the Steelers winning. Although, who's going to be the quarterback for Cleveland? That's the question.
It's a 1 o'clock game. Manziel might be hungover still.
Yeah, he might still be in the drunk tank, honestly.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to bail him out. Be a shame.
Yeah. Ben will be there, too, because, you know, he may have gone out Saturday night. He may have been there also.
That's true. They could go out before he gets – it's in Cleveland. Maybe maybe Manziel can show him the town, show him where the colleges are.
And Michael Vick will be there. It'll be a party. All the quarterback from jail party.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. What have we gotten ourselves into by doing this show? We are.
Right, man. You're leading with all bad football games. I know you're going linearly, but, like who cares?
Yeah, it's a Cleveland Patriots fan Cleveland. And a bitter Giants fan.
Cleveland plus 11, 60.8% likelihood by number fire makes me feel that much more comfortable about taking the Browns with the points. Take the Browns with the points. Steelers will win, though, straight up. We have the Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys. This game doesn't mean anything, but I like the Redskins to win, and thus we will have a team with a winning record representing the NFC least. I'm going to take the Redskins.
Yep. Yeah, the Redskins are good. I mean, they got Jordan Reed. They have DeSean Jackson. Kirk, you like that. Cousins has been playing better. They have some players on defense. They're not a bad team. I do like that. I got the Redskins.
I mean, I cannot root for the Washington Epithets, so I guess I'll go with the Cowboys. Because for the exact opposite reason. Well, one is, I can't root for Washington right now because I'm bent about their name. But beside that, I love the idea of, you know, the AFC or the NFC East, who's always touted in the preseason as having the strongest, most competitive division, but is always mediocre at best. No offense, Sam. Ending up with a division champion that's a loser.
How about Jason Garrett in Dallas? Does he stay or does he go?
He's interesting as toast. Like,
I don't know. Do you see that Dez Bryant is having surgery on his foot and ankle? You know?
That doesn't bear well.
Just playing him hurt. I think Garrett's gone.
All right. We've got the Redskins there. We move on now to the Titans and the Colts, another game that doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. Somehow the Colts, who will be playing either Ryan Lindley or Josh Freeman, favored by 6.5. Oh, I'll take Tennessee and Zach Mettenberg over the Indianapolis Colts with whomever they're going to play at quarterback. There's no way I'm taking the Colts here. Patrick.
Yeah, I'll take the team that's not picking first overall in the draft.
Oh, that would be the Colts.
Yeah, that would be the Colts. I'll take the Colts.
Sam.
With every game you say, I think, no, this is actually the worst game. But I think the Colts win.
How are the Colts going to win when they don't have a quarterback?
I don't know. All right. How are the Titans? It's like the Titans. I don't know. You got me.
The Patriots are at the Miami Dolphins. As you may or may not have heard, depending on how I decided to edit the show, the Patriots need to win this game for home field throughout. They are favored by 9.5.
Can Jimmy Garoppolo cover 9.5? Patrick.
Well, point of order. You don't need to win this game to have home field advantage throughout. Denver could lose, or they could Denver could lose in the playoffs. In either case, the AFC Championship game will be in Foxborough. So the odds are actually in New England's favor to have home field advantage. It's just not guaranteed, right? So what's your better bet? Is your better bet to, you know, go for broke against, you know, just kind of a garbage football team that's a division rival and hopefully not dirty? Or do you rest your guys that are playing hurt that are your best players and, you know, take out your second string for the most part and put a bunch of special teamers in at skill positions and see if they can play? I think you go the latter in this case. But I still think the Patriots are going to win. I'm not crazy. Or maybe I am because I'm a super fan.
Sam.
Did the Patriots announce that Jimmy Garoppolo was starting, or is that just Patrick?
Just me.
No, that's just
Patrick. Speculating. They don't announce things.
Oh, yeah, I figured. I was like, I just sound so confident in it. It makes me believe that you know something that I don't.
No. The Patriots announced that Steven Jackson signed after he had 3 carries.
Steven Jackson actually sent in an application to be a super fan, and then he had to go play football, so it didn't work out.
Yeah, there you go.
But I think the Patriots win. Just the Dolphins have quit on themselves.
All right. The Eagles are at the Giants. Before we get to the preview of this wonderful game that absolutely no one cares about, I am joined now by our Eagles super fan and reviewer. It is Sitko. Hello, Sitko.
Hey, how's it going?
It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time, my friend.
We don't get on the show often enough, but yes. How you doing?
I am doing quite well, and I know that it's been a rough week for you, or maybe it hasn't. We'll find out soon. But since it's been an interesting week, at least, we've decided to bring you Eagle Superfan 1A, or maybe it's 1B, or maybe it's Superfan 34. I don't think we ever came up with an official number for her. It's Ramona, the sports gal pal. Hello, Ramona.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine and dandy, and I know why you're all happy and may or may not have something to do with Chip Kelly, but I know it has something to do with fantasy football. So go ahead, gloat it up now while you still have the chance before, and I can be nice to you because I'm sure I'll be mean to you at some point during this interview and you'll claim some sort of karma or something like that.
Well, you did this. I have to thank you, Jay. You gave me the gift of your karma. And ever since then, I played like a champion just to go, screw you, Jay Soderberg. Screw you. Like every chance I could get. How could I make Jay look bad? And it's by winning the first annual Blog Talk Experts League. And I got to tell you, anybody who listened to that draft and listened to me and my nonsense would have never thought that it would be me that would pull out the win over these guys. And not only just a win, but the last week, 180 points, Pod Vader, 180.
That's pretty good. But let's talk about how this league really got screwed up by Pod Vader.
No. Real quick with the Pod Vader. How many points did you get? You had 72. You had 72 this week, Pod Vader.
Yeah, fantasy down the stretch was not my thing, that is for sure. I got out of the gates hot, I ran my mouth, and then, as you mentioned, fantasy karma did smack me right back, and I came crashing down to earth in a big way. Injuries totally decimated my team. That and believing in Aaron Rodgers for some silly reason. Anyway, there are two major ways that I screwed up the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, and that was Dennis Farrell and John Hansen ended up not participating despite being involved in the draft.
I was wondering if you were going to call them out.
that completely threw the entire league off this entire season. Plus, while we tried to figure out what how fantasy worked on scoutfantasy.com, because it was a little different for a few weeks there, and then we try to look ahead at the schedule and it would change like on a whim. It was very much like our draft. If you want to go back and listen to our draft at the beginning of the season, it's kind of funny. You'll hear me talk about how it was the most interesting draft I'd ever been a part of. And it turned out to be an interesting fantasy season. So, yes, the Sports Gal Pal, despite having a worse win-loss record than Mark Morales-Smith, does come in as the champion of the first official champion of the first official Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. And Pod Vader came in, well, I came in fifth in standings, but I believe I came in dead last in the consolation bracket. Yes, yes, I did.
You did.
Yeah, the consolation bracket was won by Matt Chatham of
so the two people you'd least expect to win things won. That's the interesting thing, because it was Matt's first time ever playing fantasy football, which I would like to remind you, during that draft, you kept asking me if it had been my first time. And the answer is no, definitely not.
Clearly not. Clearly not. So you are the champion. Congratulations. Your coach got fired.
And I'm like thrilled. I ordered a celebratory cocktail at the restaurant when I got the Bleacher Report on bulletin. Wow. It was fantastic and it was delicious. And I cheered. The waiter cheered with me. The tiny humans were super excited. My husband was like, thank you, God, because if I have to hear about her complaining about Chip Kelly anymore, I might divorce her. So this is all good in the Gal Pal household. And I did text Sicko, and it's a totally different story over there in California.
Yeah, I'm a little sad. I think Chip Kelly's going to be a really good coach. We'll see where he goes. If Chip Kelly walks to Tennessee right now and gets Mariota and the first pick in the draft, he's going to be stoked. This is a great deal for Chip. He doesn't have to deal with the whiny, complainy Philadelphia media anymore. He doesn't have to have people like Cooper on his team. Oh, it's going to be so good for him. But yeah, I'm totally bummed. I thought he was a really good coach. We just beat the Patriots. We beat somebody who's going to be a Super Bowl contender just a month ago. We're not a horrible team. This wasn't a disaster season. We may go 7-9. We may go 6-10. But it's not falling apart. And I thought that's what it would have to happen for Chip to go. He blew up this roster. And what really scares me now is, who are they going to hire? Someone like Sean McDermott is going to come in here, or Sean Payton even doesn't get me excited. And then he's going to come in and we are in a 3-4 defense. If somebody wants to go back to the 4-3, that's a whole overhaul. Somebody has to come in and fix this offensive line, which is completely in shambles. Do they keep Bradford? Bradford may see this total dysfunctional team and be like, you know what? I don't want to resign here. I'm out. And then what do we have? Sanchez? Oh, it just feels like this big unknown, a complete void. And at least with Chip, it may have been total mayhem and craziness, but that man had a plan. He was a pretty good coach. I don't think there's going to be somebody else available to us as the next coach that will be as good as Chip Kelly. But I'd love to hear what options might be. Go ahead.
Are you high? Well, are you high? I mean, seriously,
Sean Payton, you wouldn't be excited about Sean Payton? Are you
no,
joking?
You guys would be excited about Sean Payton. Look what
Chuck
he did.
Pagano was probably going to be available too.
Sean Payton hired one. He hired Rob Ryan. I mean, that's enough. I think anyone should question him forever that he would do that. But the guy he had before that got him suspended because he was doing illegal stuff. He won one Super Bowl, but he had Breeze. We are very far from having a Breeze. I don't know. I think I would take Chip Kelly over Sean Payton any day.
Looking at the season, I'm sorry. We lost our first two games to Atlanta, which obviously they're a bad team. Dallas, we injured Tony Romo. We couldn't figure out a way. And it didn't have Des Bryant, so we couldn't figure out.
Chip ended Romo's career. That's going to go down in history.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
no.
He did that.
No, he did not do that. Okay. It was like a fluke accident. But even then, without Tony Romo, we couldn't figure out a way to win the game. Okay. Then the three consecutive lackluster losing records of Miami, Tampa Bay, and Detroit. We made Tampa Bay and Detroit look like competent teams, Sicko.
Sanchez,
I'm sorry. That is not a successful
season. We lost our quarterback.
It doesn't matter about
this. Garrett lost his quarterback and couldn't win a single game. So we lost our quarterback for the two games you're going to point at. The Lions and the Bucks, yes, those were horrible losses. We had Sanchez in, and he lost both of those games.
Sanchez didn't play on the defensive side of that ball.
I understand, but when the offense is going three and out every single time, what is the defense supposed to do regardless? Fine, fire Billy Davis. I'd be all for that. That's great. Fire Billy Davis, fine. But
my other problem with Chip is you pay $40 million for a running back. You need to adapt your offense somewhat to fit that running back. You can't have a running back. And he didn't do that. He wasn't adaptable. And here's the thing, Sicko, is that when you have coaches that come from college and transition to the NFL, it is very rare for them to be like Pete Carroll and they transition well. In fact, Pete Carroll had to do it twice. He tried it with, you know, and he had to come back and do it again. It is very rare. You know, we're talking about like some Lou Holtz, Nick Saban. Oh, gosh.
Hire someone from the college ranks.
I don't think they're going to. I mean, who else we're going to get? Brian Kelly? No. That's the only competent coach that would be maybe available. And I doubt it. He's super happy at Notre Dame.
What about
right
Mora?
Now.
We could hire Mora. I mean, he's at least had some professional, but I could definitely, he's got to be high on the list. I think Mora at UCLA is somebody who's very high on the list. But regardless,
I don't want us to look in college at all.
He beat the Patriots very recently. He lost to the Cardinals, who are probably going to win the Super Bowl, at least be in the NFC Championship game. That's a very good team. Okay. I argue the best team in the NFL. Then
I agree.
So we lost to them. That's totally, to me, understandable with the roster we have. And then we lost to Washington, and we should have beat them. I don't think this – so what ended up happening, I think, is that Chip and Lori had a meeting. This is what I'm collecting as I'm trying to piece together what happened. And Lori, I think, suggested – that he should bow down and not be the GM anymore. And Chip kind of scoffed at that and he's out. And I think bottom line, it comes down to Chip's inability to connect with players, to make any personal connections in that front office other than just instead of making enemies with people like Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman is going to win this and become the general manager. That doesn't make you sick. You're telling me you take Howie Roseman over Chip? Howie Roseman was an intern. He doesn't know anything about football. So dangerous.
Here's Chip's overall record with the Eagles. 26-21. He went 19-9 his first season.
That's a winning record.
No. Since Thanksgiving 2014, when Chip had control, like true control, he has been 7-12. I'm sorry, no. And he wasn't willing to let it control.
Last year?
Locker room is a complete shambles. You could tell guys weren't buying the science anymore. I'm sorry. And I said this from the beginning when we met Sicko. You know I've always said this. I never trusted Chip Kelly. I always thought he was like the great and powerful Oz. A lot of grandeur talk. He looks really big and powerful, but underneath a wee small little man. I hope he's very happy in Tennessee with Mariota. And, you know, who do they have? Lenny Walker?
It's not a vacuum. Give me at least a coach or two that you'd rather have. Who are we going to hire? This isn't
Pagano's
a vacuum.
Be, right.
I'm going to tell you right now who you're going to hire. I'm going to tell you right now who you're going to hire.
All right. Yeah. Yes. You're going to hire
Dave Phipp is going to become your new head coach.
He's
the current special team coordinator. So Dave Phipp will be the head coach because clearly, you know, that defeat of the Patriots by the special teams is huge on his resume right now. All right. So anyway, what people may or may not know is that Chip Kelly and Bill Belichick actually have a pretty strong relationship. The two teams practice with each other this offseason, this preseason. Kelly actually mentioned this. I don't remember if he did it on the interview or not. Search Chip Kelly on the ESPNU College Football Podcast. Ivan Maisel was talking to him when he was the head coach of the Oregon Ducks and talked about the relationship he had with Bill Belichick back then. And obviously that relationship has grown stronger and stronger. So I don't endorse what I'm about to say. It fits in a nice little box. And so I'm going to present it to you all, and then you can take that however you wish. But I can see Josh McDaniels, who's getting a lot of press right now as being the hot offensive coordinator for any of the head coaching opportunities that might come up during this run here, taking over for Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. And Chip Kelly, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, which he most likely will, taking over the offensive coordinator reins in New England with the promise of being the heir apparent to Bill Belichick, whom I'm guessing at this point probably has maybe 3 or 4 more years. And that's probably a lot before he decides to call it a career, at least in New England. I'm just throwing that out to you as a possibility. I don't endorse it, but I could see it happening. There's a lot of relationships there that are very, very close. And if at the very least, I could see McDaniels as being your new head coach.
But with that, I mean, being that he is close with Chip Kelly, you don't think that that would turn Lurie off?
Yeah, I feel like any position of Chip Kelly right now, Lurie is like, no, burn yeah. bridge, burn bridge, burn bridge.
I don't know if you heard about Chip
Kelly. They fired him.
McDaniels isn't close with Chip Kelly. McDaniels is close with Lurie and the Eagles brass, and more specifically Kraft and Belichick. They all have a big, you know, camaraderie that goes beyond just Chip Kelly.
Do you think, knowing Josh McDaniels, do you think he would be able to find us a quarterback and fix the offensive line? My worry with McDaniels is,
no.
One, he drafted Tebow.
He's going to fail
me and was back Tebow really hard.
Well, to be fair, Chip Kelly signed Tebow for a little while.
I understand. I mean,
that's not really.
But once again, they're all friends and they think the same. My point is, though, that Josh McDaniels is on a team with one of the best. He's under one of the best coaches of all time, and he has one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So I just, it's hard for me looking from the outside to see what Josh is doing. Like, is Josh really teaching Brady or Belichick anything? Isn't he just coming in and going like, what should I do, coach? Okay, I'll execute that.
And if you look at all the coordinators that Belichick has worked under, even like Parcells' success, and this is going to make Sam nuts and he's on mute so he can't say anything. Even Parcells' success for the Giants, you know what I mean? Like just for any of that, it's been Belichick. So you take any of the parts away from Belichick, it doesn't work. You know, I just, no. Just don't even throw that stuff out into the universe, Pod Vader. You have awful karma powers, Pod Vader. The force is strong with you. What are you doing? You like me. I'm like your, no, Pod Vader. No means no, no.
Do the players get along with him, Pod? Do the players like Josh?
That's yes. going to be key.
That's the thing. The players love. No, that's good. The players that's love good. Josh.
That's a plus.
Because yeah, I mean, I would take him. Because
and beyond that, Josh does. By the way, and beyond that, Josh does more than just what should I do today, Coach? He does implement the offensive game plans. Now, granted, a lot of that foundation was built by Belichick and Weiss, and you know, even before Charlie Weiss, going back to the Parcells days, you know, a lot of these pieces have been built up over time, and he's just, you know, continuing to build upon that foundation that they have. I mean, they literally game plan week to week, but it's all based on things that they have done in the past, and then they implement them as they see fit. It's an amazing concept, one that you would think more teams would try. But apparently people just don't understand that this game really is that easy. It's all about getting the next 10 yards and eventually
you put the ball
in the end zone.
And it's really nice when you have the Emperor, Master Belichick, there, who's like, yes, is a genius. He's a genius. He's an incredible.
And young, he's the apprentice of Brady.
40 years.
And then they have the Stormtrooper Gronk. I mean, you know, let's think yes, about this. Exactly. They have the Stormtrooper Gronk. They have the great, you know, Darth Brady. And then they have the Grand Emperor.
Like a Tauntaun. He's bigger. He's bigger than a Stormtrooper, that beast thing. He's like the show monster.
I'm limited to my Star Wars references. I'm pulling out what I have. The point is, it's an interesting theory.
It's a better, I mean, I'd take him over Sean Payton. I'd say that. I'd rather somebody young and ambitious like him.
You're crazy.
Than somebody who's already done it and falling apart.
No, I want experience and like win. I want old man.
You're absolutely crazy. And by the way, if they blow up the New Orleans Saints, I just don't know what's going to happen to that city. Because honestly, there's no city that's more tied to their football team. Maybe Buffalo, but it's not the same
thing.
They could use a fresh start. They just need a fresh start. I think Sean will be good for him to leave there. I think that New Orleans can have new blood and everything again. And Sean won a Super Bowl after Katrina. I mean, he did more in that town than they could ever ask for. But I do think Sean's done there. I don't think he's going to be able to rebuild it. And I just wouldn't be too excited about Sean. I'd rather have a young guy, but I don't want Sean McDermott. We're going to see what this is. Ugh, maybe Hugh Jackson.
All right. And the last thing I'm going to say about Chip Kelly is there are certain coaches that are just built for a certain aspect of the game. And Chip Kelly is a college football coach. That's neither good. That's not bad. It's not good. It just is. It is what it is. Chip Kelly, you're a college football coach, dude. Go back to college and be the man in college football. It's what Nick Saban did. It's what you need to go back and do. And USC is waiting for you, my friend.
Bill Belichick was coaching in Cleveland. Go look at how he played in Cleveland. And then he went on to become what he is. I think Chip can do very similar.
But he never went from college. Here's the thing, Sicko. He never went from college to pros. Different. There's the difference. In college, he selects the players. The players must do what it's an emperorship. They have to do what they say. Now, granted, he has guidelines from the NCAA and the presidents and the, you know, the board of visitors or whatever there is, but ultimately he is the king of everything when it comes to the students. With the NFL, change, you're doing enrollment, and some people cannot, some guys just can't do it. And you get into the, it's very rare. There's only been four true successful college coaches that have won championships in both. Jimmy Johnson, Pete Carroll, and I'm forgetting the other two right now. But there's a reason why it's so rare, because the mentality of dealing with an NFL player versus a college player is vastly different.
There are thousands of college teams. It's very hard to win a national championship. There are 32 pro teams. It's very hard to win a Super Bowl. To find somebody who's done both is just rare. It's really rare.
But also to find a college coach that has transitioned effectively into the NFL ranks is rare. And there's a reason for that. And it's personnel issues. So you can't argue with history here.
Every single coach in the NFL, you find me somebody who never coached in college. Almost every single professional coach started in college. That's crazy to say no one ever makes that transition. People do it all the time. Chip did it very rapidly. That's true. And he jumped. He didn't become a coordinator or anything before he went right to head coaching. And I hear all that, but he is that special. He is that unique of a coach. I think anyone's resume in the NFL, they have coaching at the college and high school levels.
I got to tell you, Sicko, though, I still believe Pete Carroll is really a college coach more than he's a pro coach. Yes, he's having success.
He got lucky with the mentality of those players.
Can I finish? Thanks.
In a row.
My show. Hush, both of you. Pete Carroll, I think, is that coach. I think we're going to see it with Harbaugh. I think he's more of a college coach than he was a pro coach, even though he had quite a bit of success with that San Francisco 49ers team before things went downhill rather quickly there. There's just certain guys that are built for the college game and not for the pro game. I think that's Chip Kelly. But anyway, enough on Chip Kelly. We spent way too much time on it. I love the passion between the two of you. I love the fact that you both disagree. That made this segment even better. Give me a pick for week 17. It's Eagles at the Giants. Who do you got, Sicko? Oh,
please beat us. Please beat us. Yeah. We need the draft pick. Please beat us. I mean, I think we have a good chance to beat them. I mean, we totally destroyed them last time we played. And weirdly, teams bounce back in these weird adverse areas. They're all playing for their job now. They all want to put good stuff on tape to show that they should stick around. So, you know, I think we have a chance to beat them. But in all honesty, I really hope we lose, because I'd rather be 6-10 and get closer to a top 10 pick. Although I think we'll be picking somewhere between 10 and 13. But we'll see.
And last Angry week, Odell I said Beckham. The Giants would lose. Yeah. Last week, I said the Giants would lose, and I wanted Tom Coughlin's head. It looks like I got half of that so far, and it looks like it's pretty close to the other half happening with Tom Coughlin halfway out the door there, too. So who do you got, Ramona?
Oh, I think Giants. Angry Odell Beckham. He's angry and he wants to play. He was well rested because he didn't play last week. And I agree with all the reasons why. So go Big Blue.
Go Blue.
Go Blue.
And one last,
go Sam.
One last voice on this whole thing. Sam, go ahead. Have your last laugh. Oh, Sam, you're not there.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm here.
Oh, damn. I thought you got benched like ODB. I thought you got suspended.
No, I don't do the things that get suspended. It's really that's other people in the group.
Sam, get your last laugh here on these Eagles fans. They're at your stadium this week. Who do you got? And then laugh at them.
We are winning, and then we're sending the Eagles to London to play the Rams next season.
I'm cool with the London game. I'm not afraid of the London game.
We're going to be on Hard Knocks next year. Do you know this? We're going to be on Hard Knocks next year.
That means more Eagles talk, more excuses to talk about Eagles. Bring it. Fantastic. Ready.
We're Texans now. We're the Texans. So gross.
Does it mean we get JJ Watt?
Oh, I wish.
All right.
I'm sorry, congratulations. Sam.
Congratulations to you, Ramona. You can check her out at the Sports Gal Pal, sportsgalpal.com. Of course, she hosts the Sports Gal Pal podcast. You can hear that right here on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. Leave a review. Let her know that you heard about her show through us. That'd be great.
Hey, and I'm award-winning now, Pod Vader. And I've won.
That's true.
I'm award-winning
you are.
Now. Yes.
Nice. You are
an
award winner.
Yes,
DC
I am.
Podcast award winner. Fantastic. Yeah,
most original podcast. Thanks to you, Pod Vader. Seriously, no, it would not be because without. So all this is Jay Soderbergh's fault, everybody.
It's always my fault. And Sicko, of course, will be back to recap week 17. And of course, will be helping me out through the playoffs as we get through the 2015 year. Thank you very much. Have a happy new year, Ramona.
Happy new year to you guys, too. Have fun recording the rest of the show.
Happy new year. Have a good show, Pod. I'll talk to you later.
All right. A lot of passion there. And Sam, we already got your pick. Patrick, who do you like in this one? Eagles or the Giants?
Oof, tough. Giants. I think Philadelphia is just in a shambles. I mean, you know, maybe New York's, you know, not that much better off, but I think they're clearly better off.
Thanks, in a Matt. Game in a game where the head coach could get fired at the end of it and the other head coach was already fired, who is playing for what at that point? And I got to go with Eli Manning over the Philadelphia Eagles. Eli Manning on his own. And by the way, I don't like Eli Manning. I don't believe in him. And so that says a lot for me to say Eli Manning will beat the Eagles all by himself. The Jaguars are at the Houston Texans. Brian Hoyer passed his concussion protocol, so he will be starting for the Texans. And that means the Houston Texans can cover 6.5 points against those upstart Jaguars. Patrick.
This is actually tougher than I think, you know, it should be, just because Jacksonville, I started the year thinking that they were going to contend in their division anyway. And they keep showing signs of it. And granted, their division's terrible, you know, and Houston hasn't really been playing up to snuff. I know they're winning, right? But I don't know, man. This could kind of go either way. And I'll go against Billy O and I'll take Jacksonville.
Sam?
Jacksonville's offense has been really good this season. So they have that to look forward to next season, and I think that the Texans win this game.
Number Fire loves Houston, -6, 57.1%. That doesn't make me feel good about my pick, but I'm sticking with it. The Chargers are at the Denver Broncos, and Sam, you had mentioned it earlier, but Brock Osweiler's dealing with a separated shoulder, and Peyton Manning is back practicing, so it's going to be Osweiler in this game, but will it be Peyton Manning in the playoff game? Sam, go ahead, make your pick on this game.
I like Phillip Rivers. I think he's going to pull this one out, and I think that's what Broncos fans are scared of right now.
That's an interesting thought. Patrick?
Oh, no basis behind it. It's just how I feel.
I love Phillip Rivers. I have for a long time. You know, personality aside, I think I've always made the argument that he's an elite quarterback, like the upper echelon, really, really, really good, plays with terrible players and always puts up great numbers, all around good numbers too, not just like garbage time touchdowns and throwing 40 yards at a clip, but like really solid play. That said, he's all they got. And, you know, one of my favorite defensive backs in recent memory is Eric Weddle. And for whatever reason, the powers that be at San Diego just really, really, really don't want to bring this guy back. So Weddle last weekend didn't go into the locker room with the team at halftime because his daughter was performing during like the halftime show. And he wanted to watch his daughter. And he stayed out there. So they benched him. They fined him $10,000 and they put him on IR. So it's like the arguably the best safety in the game is not going to be in this game this weekend. You know, and hopefully come on his way to New England right now. But losing that and like not having anything else other than Phillip Rivers, it pains me to say it, but I got to go Denver.
I already have my Giants Eric Weddle jersey.
I will get in a bidding war with you right now with money that isn't mine.
Do the Patriots have money this offseason? The Giants have like $50 million.
Nah, the cap goes up like over $20 million next year, so they can sign kind of anybody. I guess so can anybody else, though, I suppose.
Right.
Speaking of former Patriots, Danny Woodhead leads NFL running backs with 704 receiving yards, also leads the team with 1,029 scrimmage yards and only needs six to surpass his career high that he set in 2013. So good job out of Danny Woodhead, who, by the way, is listed at 5'6". I'm 5 foot six. I met Danny Woodhead. He's lucky if he's 5'2". Sorry, so, Danny.
Good. That's good work by Danny Woodhead. Bad work by the first round draft pick.
just a little bit. That was a 4 o'clock game. Another 4 o'clock game is the Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 6.5. Man, these numbers, you degenerate gamblers out there, these numbers are crazy. I don't know how to pick with the number. But I think the Chiefs will win. I think they're the hot team. And Sam, you said it, right? The Chiefs are the team that I don't think anybody wants to face now going into the playoffs.
Yeah, they just have a bunch of weapons. And Jeremy Maclin is really, really good. He's had a great season. They have pass rushers. They have a couple of the cornerbacks. If they just get hot, they can beat any team. So that's why I like them.
Yeah, Patrick. I'll reverse it. I want to go Oakland with a spoiler. I haven't really felt a spoiler coming up on this sheet of games yet, and we're due for one. So it's a stupid reason to pick a team to win, but I'll go Oakland, mostly because I don't gamble. So I can just say that and have no consequences.
Let's see here. Number fire on this game. Why can't I find it now? Of course I can't find it. Here it is. Number fire loves Kansas City -7, 55.8%. That always makes me feel uncomfortable. The Rams are at the San Francisco 49ers. You want to talk about a spoiler? I'll give you one. The worst team in the NFL was supposed to be the San Francisco 49ers. They turned out to be pretty bad, but not the worst. And I think they're going to pull out a win here against the Jeff Fisher head coached Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis.
I can't argue with that. Sure. Let's put them on the board. I think Jeff Fisher's been overrated for like 15 years. So I pretty much assume he's going to lose any game that he's in, which isn't fair. He only loses about half of them.
Sam.
The rules of Jeff Fisher says he has to finish 8-8 and run other runs for 7-8, so I think they get the win. That's science, by the way.
I think it's math, but that's okay. this is not grammar school. The Seattle Seahawks are at the Arizona Cardinals. We already mentioned, are they going to arrest them? Are they not? This could become a playoff game a little bit later on. I'm going to take the Cardinals at home to sort of put that statement win. I mean, they don't really need to. I think they've made their statement going 13-2. But I think the Cardinals want to put a stamp on this season and leave a nice mark and as they want to be the team that's in San Francisco at the end of the year. And I'm going to take the Cardinals to beat the Seahawks. Patrick.
Yeah, is there a reason this wasn't flexed? This seems like the
Vikings,
best game of the week.
Vikings. Well, Vikings-Packers has more impact, I guess.
Yeah, but those are like Midwest teams. I mean, I went to college in the Midwest, so it's okay for me to say that. But like, really, on the coast where people live, do we care about those games? I don't know.
I think it's because the Vikings-Packers game isn't contingent on any other game's outcomes.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Anyway, I'll take Arizona. They're the better football team.
Yeah, I think Arizona doesn't lose a game the rest of the season.
Ooh, making a Super Bowl prediction.
They don't, like you say they don't lose a game for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Going out on a limb with that one in Week 17?
No, I mean they're my Super Bowl pick.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. Sorry.
Yeah, no, they're about to. Yeah, I noticed that. I was wondering if it made sense, and I figured I should clear that up.
No, I'm sure it was me.
It's all good.
The last 4 o'clock game is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Carolina Panthers. The Panthers finally dropped one. My guess is they are going to rest everyone. They don't want to become like the Patriots. They want to keep everyone healthy. I don't see a 10.5 point spread being covered here, though. I like Carolina to win. I don't like them to cover the number. Patrick.
I don't know how deep they are because I think you're right. They're going to let the freshmen play. And, I don't know if Tampa will. Tampa might play the little chip on their shoulder. Again, I don't know. I don't know that team. But I could see an upset, quote-unquote upset win against a bunch of flubs.
Sam?
Maybe I'm too much into the psychology. I just don't think the Panthers really want to go on like a two-game losing streak, resting all their players having not played for a long time. So I think they play their starters, and I think they win.
Fair point.
All righty, and let's get into our super fan battle. It's the Vikings and the Packers. There was really only one game this week that deserved a battle of the super fans, and that is the Minnesota Vikings, sans a super fan, going against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field on Sunday night at 8:30. Winner of this game is the NFC North champion and thus will hold the NFC North seed in the playoffs. The other will be the wild card representative, and Green Bay Brian has joined us for a one-sided superfan battle, but I may include Sam and Patrick in on this, so you two don't go far. Brian, how are you?
I'm awesome. How's it going, Pod?
It's going well. It's going well. So I've been relying poorly on the arm of Aaron Rodgers in my fantasy leagues, and that has proven to be really, really bad for me the last few weeks. Never mind my fantasy team. It's been really, really bad for you as a Packers
fan. I was
going to
say, I've been relying on Aaron Rodgers' arm for my psyche for the last 16 weeks, so I think I got you beat there.
What's going on? What's happening?
Well, I'll start with the positives, and the defense is actually playing okay. We've stayed middle of the pack. I know for a number of years we were pretty poor there, but that's pretty much the extent of the positives. The offensive side of the ball has been a complete disaster this year. I think the crux of the problem is the lack of wide receiver talent, and partially talent and partially scheme. But I think that's been the biggest problem. Although last week, I would say our biggest problem was the ability to protect Rodgers. We had starters going in and out of the lineup. Bulaga got subbed out with a twisted ankle, but Bakhtiari never played. Josh Sitton and TJ Lang were in and out of the game with knee injuries. At one point, we had three or four backup offensive linemen on the field, and you saw the result. We weren't able to protect Rodgers and just got demolished on defense, or on offense, I should say. And actually, the Cardinals defense outscored our entire team last week, which is embarrassing. So coming off of last week, I don't really have a good reason to be confident other than our historic record against Minnesota. We tend to play pretty well against them at home. I think we're 1-8. Or the Vikings are 1-8 against the Packers under Mike McCarthy in Lambeau. So that's a good sign, but that's about it. It's been a pretty rough season for me so far.
I was going to mention the last game against the Vikings,
Packers 30, Vikings 13, Rodgers 212, two touchdowns. The last game at Lambeau was in October, 42-10 Packers. Rodgers threw for 156 yards, but three touchdowns. And I believe I remember reading this stat before the first game this year. Aaron Rodgers loves playing the Minnesota Vikings. He's won 10 of his past 11 versus the Vikings, including the playoffs, with 28 touchdowns, only three picks, and a 120.1 rating. So if we were relying on Aaron Rodgers' arm, this week would be great. If only I had Aaron Rodgers in a fantasy league this week, that would that'd be fantastic. But in terms of the game, it looks like maybe the Vikings are what Aaron Rodgers needs, or maybe this is that Vikings team that I've never believed in all season long.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll see. Obviously, they get to play the game on Sunday, and then all of our questions will be answered. I'm skeptical that we can turn it around. We've had the same problem on offense basically since week 7 when the Broncos showed everyone exactly how to stop our offense. All you have to do is play man defense against us and our wide receivers can't get open. So Rodgers has to hold the ball, pats, and then takes a sack or throws it away or whatever the case may be. Against the Vikings, he has played pretty well in the past. I'm hopeful that he can put up another game in line with previous stat lines. But at this point, if I said that I was expecting that, I'd be lying to you and all of our listeners. So I'm thinking if we do anything on offense this week, it's going to be through the running game. Eddie Lacy and James Starks have played well for stretches, but they haven't really sustained a lot of success from game to game. They've kind of been limited in their success there to just whatever game they're playing. And then the very next week that it kind of evaporates. So we'll see. I think, you know, if we stand any chance at all in the playoffs, we're going to need to get the running game going because I have zero hope in our passing attack. It's been that bad this year.
Patrick, you've been more of a believer in the Vikings. What have the Vikings done this year that's worked for them?
You're talking about me? That's Davey. Davey believes in the Vikings. Well, yeah, Davey went to college in Massachusetts. Maybe I could pretend to be him.
How about you, Sam? Do you believe in the Vikings?
I do. I mean, they just destroyed the Giants last week. Their defensive line looks incredible. So I think it's exactly as Brian said. It's how that offensive line plays that's going to dictate how this game turns out.
I mean, Bridgewater has played well. He's got a 123 rating, six touchdowns, no picks in his last three. He's won five of his past six versus the division. I'm giving you the useless stats because that's really all I got for you. I haven't been able to see the Vikings. Obviously, they helped Christopher Harris win the bet between the Vikings and my former boyfriends, the Atlanta Falcons. I just have never believed. I just never believed in them at all this season. And yet here they are heading to the playoffs and a chance to be the NFC North contenders. Let's see what Number Fire has to say here about this game before we make picks on it. And Number Fire loves Green Bay minus three. Love is strong. It likes Green Bay minus three. 47.6%. So I don't know. Normally I'd go against Number Fire, but this game is at home and I'm going with the Steelers Greg theory of home team. When in doubt, go with the home team. And so I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers here. Brian, who you got?
Well, if we win, it's going to be because of our running game and our defense. You talked a little bit about that game we played back in November, and the defense in that game played very well. I think we sacked Bridgewater six times, had pressure on him pretty much consistently throughout the game, and held Peterson to just 45 yards rushing. If we win, it's going to be because of our defense and our running game stepping up. I think we can do that, and I think we will win our fifth straight NFC North title. I'll say Packers 24, Minnesota 16.
All right. Patrick, who you got in this one?
I'll take, I want to believe in the Packers, but I just can't get behind them fully this year. So I will go with the Vikings, which is not to say that I believe in the Vikings. It's more that I doubt the Packers. So I'll go Minnesota 24-21.
And Sam, who you got in this one?
I got the Packers also. I just don't think they lose this game 24-14.
I'll say I actually kind of hope we lose, because if we lose, it looks more like we will end up playing at Washington as opposed to hosting Seattle. So I like our odds a little bit better against Washington than Seattle. But honestly, at this point, I think we're a charade. I don't think we're a playoff caliber team. We're going there on the strength of our early season record. And honestly, at this point, I think we could lose to anybody. So even if we have to play in Washington, I'm not confident that we'll win that game either.
All right, Brian, Happy New Year to you. And we'll talk to you again.
That's a weird transition pod.
we're going to be talking to you again next week because you don't have a bye. So we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Can't wait.
All right, so those are all the games that we picked. By the way, I forgot to give you my lock of the week. I have got a great curse going on. I have 5 locks in a row go badly for me. It started with the Eagles in week 12, the Bears in 13, the Broncos in 14, your Giants, Sam, in week 15, but I was doing that more as a joke. The Steelers last week, who I really did think were going to blow out the Ravens, and that didn't happen. This week, I've put the lock curse on the Houston Texans.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Or in picking the game. But yes, sorry, Houston. Even though I picked you and I've locked you in, you're not winning. So congratulations, Jacksonville. You got a nice win at the end of the season. We teased it, but we didn't get into it when we talked about the Giants game. Sam, you brought up a Hall of Fame head coach for Tom Coughlin. Was it you or was it someone else? Doesn't matter. Ultimately, you and Patrick had it out on Slack about Hall of Fame head coaches. I'd like you two to have it out again here on the podcast.
Should I start with his resume and then Patrick can tell me what you would have liked him to have added this whole time?
Yes.
So, first of all, Tom Coughlin started in 1995, starting up Jacksonville. In his first 5 years, he took that team from winning 4 games to winning 14 games, losing in the championship game with an expansion team, which I know Patrick likes to say dozens of head coaches have the same resume, but not many head coaches have done that, if any, at this point. Then he fizzled out in Jacksonville, came to the Giants, took a really terrible Giants team, won a Super Bowl in his 4th year, went to the playoffs 4 straight times, had won about 53% of his games, has those 2 Super Bowls. I just think when you look at a resume, his resume is extremely solid. He has 2 Super Bowls. He has the Jacksonville. He's a career 63% win percentage in the playoffs. I understand what Patrick's going to say. He's going to say that he should have won more games. But his teams have just not been so great. He's really been a great coach. But I'm ready, Patrick. What you got?
So in terms of starting a new team, expansion team, and going to the playoffs the next year, Dom Capers did it at the exact same time with Carolina and then went on to, a mediocre coaching career for the rest of his career after that. And that was the exact same time. Like these guys are contemporaries. I think they even coached together at one point. So it has been done. And while Coughlin won 2 Super Bowls, if you'll recall, those are teams that just eked into the playoffs and got hot and ran the gamut. So they won their 4 games in a row. Cool. But those were not good football teams. Those were teams that barely made the playoffs. And every other year during his coaching career, people were saying, he's on the hot seat. He's going to lose his job. And the only thing that saved it was winning a championship. He did it twice, and that's good. And he parlayed that into extending his career with the Giants. And, I don't know how I got cast as the anti-Tom Coughlin guy in this conversation, because I'm not anti-Tom Coughlin. I think he's a good coach. But the fact of the matter is he's barely over 500 for his career as a coach, right? And like, yes, he's been to the playoffs a few times and he won the Super Bowl two of those times. Those are good things, and I don't mean to take them away from him, but that doesn't get you into the Hall of Fame. To get into the Hall of Fame, especially as a coach, it needs to be a no-brainer. Like, there don't need to be people arguing about it on podcasts trying to justify whether or not a guy should be considered for the Hall. Like, if you have to ask the question, the answer is no.
Here's the thing. I'm not justifying it. You're just asking me why it's a no-brainer. That's why it's a no-brainer. You mentioned Dom Capers. The difference between Tom Coughlin is Dom Capers went 12-4 and then never had another winning season. Tom Coughlin had a winning season and then did it three more times. Tom Coughlin went to the playoffs 9 times. So it's not like he's had a couple of playoff appearances. He's been a great coach. And you're going to say, oh, many coaches have 2 Super Bowls and they're not in the phase. But how many coaches that had 2 Super Bowls also started an expansion team and also went to the playoffs 4 out of the first 5 years?
Well, because there's only been like, there aren't a whole lot of multiple Super Bowl winners. There aren't a whole lot of multiple Super Bowl participants. There aren't a whole lot of Super Bowls, right? Like that, we're about to have
this. Exactly the point. Exactly. He's won 2 and done all these other things. I just don't see how you don't talk about the Jacksonville franchise without him. You don't talk about the Giants franchise without him. He's linked to the Patriots during this whole run. He's been a major part of the NFL since 95. You don't talk about the NFL from 95 to 2015 without mentioning a bunch of Tom Coughlin.
Oh, I think you do if you're not a Giants fan. Like, I don't think Tom Coughlin is on the tip of everybody's tongue.
If you're a Jacksonville fan, Tom Coughlin is always linked to that franchise. If you're a Patriots fan, Tom Coughlin is always linked to that franchise. And the Giants are one of the bigger teams in the NFL, so that does carry weight. It is the Hall of Fame, as you like to say. So there is a lot of fame that comes with playing for the Giants, that comes with ending a 19-0 season, that comes with coming back and beating that team again.
I will give you this, because I did look it up after our Slack conversation. There have been, I think, 2 coaches, I don't remember their names, that are in the Hall of Fame with, you know, subpar records, what I'm calling subpar records, right? Like not like blow your doors away. Oh my God, they won so many games records. And they're both from the Giants, you know, and then you have Weave Eubanks from the Jets, right? Same situation there. So like, yes, being in New York definitely carries weight. And I'm also not saying that that's a bad thing. Like this isn't grade school, right? Not every team needs to be created equal. There is an advantage to being in the media capital of the world when you're talking about what is and should be a popularity contest. It's the Hall of Fame, right? Like it's for famous people. So if being in the coach gets you another, you know, 5% on your winning percentage, maybe that pushes them over. And I'm not going to cry injustice if he gets in. I just don't think that he's a Hall of Fame coach. Like, he's a good coach. I'd be happy to have him coach my team. You know, if Belichick retires and, you know, Belichick retires and Tom Coughlin isn't dead yet, then sure, he can come and coach the Patriots and I'll be happy with the signing. I think it'll be a good signing. Right. But like, I just don't see him going to the Hall.
I think he's a very good coach with a great resume. And I think that's where the Hall of Fame thing comes in.
Yeah. I think I have to say,
like there are those that disagree with you.
Right, I'm here. I'm still going to be as passionate.
Well, that's sort of the thing when we argue Tom Coughlin's credentials. It's sort of he has 2 Super Bowls. They're both against the Patriots, and one of them is against the undefeated team, which, you know, many can argue was perhaps the greatest team of all time. We'll let that argument stand for another podcast. But he does have that win, and that's a big one. He did take an expansion franchise and built it from the ground up. That's another big hunk on his resume. But the other hunk on his resume is that he was always just that one season away from being fired. Like, always. It always seemed like, is this the year Coughlin's getting fired? Is this the year he's getting fired? Is this the year he's getting fired? It just, to me, if there was a Hall of Very Good, that's where he'd be. We don't have that. But we also don't treat the Hall of Fame as we should, as Patrick mentioned, as a true Hall of Fame. And for all of those reasons, I think that's why he will be ultimately in the Hall of Fame. I don't feel he deserves to be there, he's got to be there. And I think he's got a resume that
you could put up against some of the other coaches, that's a little bit better than some of the other coaches that will also ultimately be in the Hall of Fame or are already in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, to your point, if the Hall of Fame was treated stricter, then I might agree with you. But seeing some of the people that go in year after year in the coffin hasn't had just as good a career as them, that's where I think it's different. So, I mean, you know, Hall of Fame, if he doesn't get in, he's still going to have his two Super Bowls. He's still going to be the best coach in Giants history. So there's that.
And he could always be in the Giants Hall of Fame. Do the Giants have a Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I'm sure. Yes. Doesn't every team have a Hall of Fame at this point?
They should. If they don't, they're doing something wrong. Because you can make a few extra bucks off of it.
They should bronze the tip of his nose.
Can you believe that 5 years ago the Giants finished 10-6 and finished second in the NFC East? What a crazy world we lived in.
Yeah, crazy, like going 11-5 and not making the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm. Listen, things happen.
All right. As I mentioned before, I'm used to doing the show when the sun is up and I have a bright and sunny front lawn staring at me. But not only is the sun not up, but the lights have been turned off in my house. I'm sitting in the dark with just this computer and a microphone in front of my face. And thus, I think it's time to say sayonara. Just so you all know out there, our plan is, in fact, to have super fan battles for all the playoff matchups. If we don't have super fans already for the teams going into the playoffs, we will assign super fans or at least get some of our more active super fans to help us out in terms of our super fan battle. So we will have plenty of coverage through the playoffs. And as I mentioned last week and hinted last week, I am hoping to have a very special guest with us through the playoffs to help preview some of these shows. Considering, I think it's today, might be tomorrow, that he'll no longer be employed. So, Patrick, thanks for joining us. It's been fantastic. Sam, thank you. And happy thanks to, yes, Happy New Year. Thanks to Ramona. Thanks to Sitco. And thanks to Green Bay Brian for hopping in on the show. Someone we know isn't retiring will help finish it out once again as there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
Hot says we have to restart the whole thing. I don't know what that means.
All right. Good. That means that this recording will never have existed.